Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to thank you for taking your time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you do so each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. It airs from 8 to 8:30 on your public access channel number 6. We ask you to take a look and let us know what you think. We also want to take this opportunity to welcome you and invite you to a special series of lessons that begin 1 week from today on April the 23rd on Sunday at our regular meeting times with Brother Raymond Castillo. Brother Castillo will be preaching at our regular times on Sunday and each and every evening Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. This is a special series of lessons in order to give you an opportunity to hear the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Castillo has been preaching the gospel for many, many years. He's an excellent speaker and a good student of the Bible, and we know that you will profit by his lessons. We cordially invite you to these services. You will always be warmly received. We meet on Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:20 for morning worship, and then again 6:30 in the evening. And then we will meet each week, Monday through Friday, at 7 p.m. If you have opportunity, please put that on your calendar, beginning April the 23rd through the 28th. Today, we want to continue our discussion on the subject of fruit of the Spirit and our last fruit, self-control. Again, we want to read our passage. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. We are examining the last of the fruit of the Spirit, and that is self-control. Sacrificial service is also part of self-control. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. While this verse doesn't contain the word self-control, the ideal is very much alive in it. At the crucifixion of Christ, the Old Testament era, with its animal sacrifices, its grain offerings, its peace offerings, its wave offerings, the festivals, the special days, the Sabbath, they all came to a close. But in every era, since sin came into the world, God has required some kind of sacrifice for those who follow him. Christ's one sacrifice on the cross did something that all the animal sacrifices of antiquity could never do. He provided pardon by redeeming man from the debt of sin. It is in response to that merciful work in which God had performed that Paul pleads with us or beseeches us as Christians to give our lives over as one who is a living sacrifice. To be a living sacrifice, you have to present your bodies a living sacrifice. The picture here alludes to the New Testament doctrine that all Christians are priests in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. As the Jews of old brought their sacrifices and presented them to God, so now we present our bodies. We do not bring the bodies of animals, but we bring our own bodies. Presenting a sacrifice to God means giving it entirely over to him. The presenter releases all claims to it. This is what Paul is saying we should do with our bodies. Do you recall 1 Corinthians 6:19? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, we have to present our body in an acceptable manner, and to live that acceptable life, we have to practice self-control. This verse should have caused what Paul wrote in Romans 6 to weigh even heavier on those who heard about their bodies being used as instruments of righteousness. Recall Romans 6:13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. The Old Testament system brought death because of sin, and the commandment which was to bring life, I found it to bring death, Romans 7 and verse 10. Has there then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. But the New Testament system, by the death of Christ and through the mortification of our passions, brings our lives into subjection to His will. Our sacrifice is, therefore, not a slain carcass upon a bloody altar, but rather a living, breathing sacrifice as we live in this world according to God's standards, God's dictates, and not our own. We are to sacrifice. We should appreciate that envelope and the meaning of the word sacrifice, as we see when we look at 2 Samuel 24, verse 24. Then the king said to Arana, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer a burnt offering to the Lord my God, which costs me nothing." So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. You see, David was not going to offer God a sacrifice that he didn't have to pay something for. He said that would not be his real sacrifice. Without cost, there is no sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. By offering his life for his friends, Jesus provided the ultimate sacrifice, according to John 15, verse 13. The cost to us may be overcoming strong desires that from time to time conflict with the righteousness that he calls upon us to live. We need to put to death those passions and desires that lead us away from Christ, that lead us deeper into sin. It will not necessarily be easy, but a living sacrifice comes at a cost. It may be lust, it may be a relationship, it may be a belief, it may be cowardice, or it may be pride. But whatever it is, it leads us away from Christ and His Word. We must put it to death for the sake of righteousness. We have to put that to death. And the only way we can put it to death is if we get it under control. We must practice self-control. In Romans 6, verse 20, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit did you have then in the things which you now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death." If we fail to exercise self-control in our lives by putting to death those things which lead us away from Christ and lead us to sin, there will be a greater cost in the long run, spiritual death. All sin leads to that, according to Romans 6:23, and all sin must be put to death. It must be mortified, as we can read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 through 10. We must put that to death. And the only way that we put it to death is if we practice self-control in our lives. Galatians 6, verse 8, "For he who sows to the flesh will of this flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." The consequence of sowing to the flesh are viewed and appreciated by looking at the decaying corpse. If you sow to the flesh, you will end your life fully corrupt. Look into the grave of one who has been buried a long time, and you will see this graphic picture. We want to reap everlasting life. But to do that, we're going to have to sow to the Spirit. We're going to have to think in the spiritual mind. Going back to our sacrificial service and self-control of Romans 12, "This service is not what seems reasonable to you, but what is spiritual and reasonable to God." Your reasonable service. Reasonable to who? Reasonable to God, not reasonable to you, not reasonable to me. In Luke 17:10, "So likewise, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done which was our duty to do.'" Your spiritual service and worship is your duty. It's your responsibility. Don't you believe that God has earned the right and honor to tell us what He needs from those that He created? You see, we do what we have to do, not because we have to, but because we want to. We gladly give this service to God in response to what He has done for us. You see, that demonstrates love. That demonstrates commitment. That demonstrates a self-sacrifice. Your reasonable service is your self-control over your emotions, passions, and desires, and to bring them under subjection to the will of Christ. Renewing of your mind. The sacrifice begins in your mind. It must be renewed. Conversion to Christ means change. When a tree is converted to lumber, it undergoes a change. Minds converted to Christ must be renewed. This is where self-control begins to dominate our lives, and it begins in our minds. Renewing means rejuvenating, renovating, changing, undoing some things. Ephesians 4:23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." That means the very rational logic and reasoning of the mind is renewed, and it's renewed in a new way. The very life of my mind is changed, and this brings about a transformation away from the world and towards the things of God. So effective is this change that we move from being people who desire to conform to our lust to the people who desire to transform lust into spiritual service. To what is acceptable of God, rather than pursuing sin, we pursue that which is good. We control our appetites and emotions and desires, and we put them in line with what God would have us to do. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you must be holy in all your conduct. We are to conform not to the world of our former lust, but we are to pursue holiness in all of our conduct. That means your manner of life. That is, every action you perform should fit within the confines of holiness, such as self-control. To walk in holiness, it is necessary to have all passions and desires under control. You can't do that unless you have your focus and your aim on the spiritual things of God. You can't do that unless your focus is on things that God would have you to do that bring you closer to God, that make you more spiritually minded, that make you more willing to do what God wants you to do and live in such a way that you exemplify to those round about you that you want to live for God and you're not living for yourself. You see, ladies and gentlemen, to practice self-control is to get your thinking under control. You can never bring your life and your conduct and your actions under control until you get control of your mind. You have to get control of your thinking. How do you do that? You get control of your thinking by what you put in your mind, by what you allow to take root in your mind, what you place in your mind. So, in other words, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to be careful what you read, what you listen to, what you look at, what you see, because all of it is going to manifest itself in action further down the road. And so the more spiritually minded we can get our mind, the more good things we can put in our mind, the good more of God's word that we can place in our mind, it will help us in what we will do in our conduct. You see, but you can't do that, ladies and gentlemen, unless you have control. You have, you have to put control of your mind. You have to get control of your thinking. You've got to control where your mind goes, where your thinking goes. You have to control in what you put your effort and all of your time into. Ladies and gentlemen, our mind is the battlefield. That's where the battle's being fought. Whoever controls your mind controls your body in time, because your mind is going to get your body to come into line. Whatever you think is what you're going to do. And we'll finish this next week by showing how the mind has to be sound. If you don't have a sound mind, you're not going to have sound action. And so the very first thing in practicing this fruit of self-control is to get your mind focused on God, on the Bible, on spiritual, and away from the lust and the passions and the desires of this physical life. That takes control and that takes effort. Thank you for listening this morning. Please tune in again next Wednesday as we continue and conclude our discussion on the fruit of the Spirit by examining self-control.